Philippians chapter 3. Last week we began a series entitled Christianity is Christ, and we're taking our main thought from Philippians 3 verses 7 through verse 14. Christianity is Christ. That is a truth that needs to be grasped and fully understood by all of God's people. In the last message, we saw that Christianity does involve a certain belief, certainly involves a certain way of thinking, certain convictions, the embracing of truth, the following of biblical rules, attending church, reading and hearing the scripture. It involves being for and against certain things, but none of those things save an individual. None of those things define Christianity. Christianity is so much more. Christianity is Christ. And Christianity is more than what people deem as spiritual credits. We saw that last week, and that's what Paul addresses here in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. Well, let's read verse 7, verse 8. But what things were gained to me, referring back to the things mentioned in verses 4 through 6. What things were gained to me, though, that is, things that he considered as spiritual credits before the Lord saved him. Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now in those verses, Paul is giving testimony concerning his salvation experience, which again occurred on the Damascus Road. That's recorded in Acts chapter 9. In that experience, in Acts 9, verse 5, and it seems to be the thing that stood out to Paul, as we'll see in a little bit, Jesus appeared to him and said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. And here in our text, Paul testifies that at that moment he came to realize that Christ was superior to all that he thought was spiritual credits. He says, all those things I counted loss for Christ. Loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus. That is, he saw Christ surpassing all of those things. And then in the latter part of verse 8, Paul speaks of his present life. And he says, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win or that I may gain Christ. So he's striving for more of Christ. He's moving in the direction of Christ. Everything is about Christ. He is saying that the life that he now lives, unlike his past, was not rooted in ritual, was not rooted in rank or tradition or religion or sincerity or outward righteousness, but everything is rooted to Christ. And that is our subject tonight, Christianity, a life with roots. It is a life that has deep, deep roots. First of all, there's roots to the salvation experience. One cannot be a Christian in the true sense of the word without a personal salvation experience. And one cannot live what is known as the Christian life without a personal salvation experience. For those who attempt to do so, apart from this personal salvation experience, manifest that their root system goes back to the very things that Paul has mentioned: ritual, rank, etc. And all of that is a faulty root system. So personal examination is necessary. Where is our root system linked? This is of vital importance. Concerning Paul, no one wrote more about being saved than he did. It was a subject in which he marveled. It was a subject in which he stood amazed. It was something that engrossed his heart, engrossed his mind, something that filled him with great joy and filled him with thanksgiving and praise. No doubt it was a subject that refreshed him greatly. It was a subject that revived him and inspired his spirit. Salvation was very, very real to him. It was something that he was very conscious and mindful of. Something that he was very confident in, because he never could get back past that day on the Damascus Road. He never got past, "I am Jesus." It was something that he was deeply assured of. He was very much aware of his salvation experience. He was very much aware of who saved him and how it came about. And as you read the epistles of Paul and as you observe his life in the book of Acts, it is unmistakably clear, again, that he never got over the thrill and the excitement of when the Lord came to him and saved him. In the book of Acts, chapter 22, verses 6 through 8, Paul testifies before the Jews. And in that testimony, we're not going to read it for time's sake, but it's Acts 22, verses 6 through 8. He referred to the one who appeared to him and spoke those words, "I am Jesus." And then in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 15, he testifies before Agrippa. And once again, he mentions that specific thing: "I am Jesus." So you see that his roots go back to "I am Jesus." He was always conscious of the fact that he was saved, and he knew that it was not genealogy that saved him. He knew that it was not religion that saved him. He knew that it was not his own will that saved him. He knew that it was Jesus. So his roots go back to a personal salvation experience. Your roots have to go back there. You ask somebody about their salvation, and the first thing they tell you is how they were raised and how they were taken to church. They've got a faulty root system. That shouldn't be the first thing they talk about. But when they do, that reveals the root system. And that's a faulty root system. Not only does it go to our salvation experience, but our roots go to the person of Jesus Christ. Reading through the epistles of Paul, he never separated his salvation from Christ. Never did. You can't. In Colossians 2, verse 27, or verse 7, Colossians 2, verse 7, he talks about being rooted in Him. Rooted in Him. The initial rooting is done by God. But those words, rooted in Him, they are perfect tense. What that means is that it is past, it's something that happened in the past, but it's past continued action. But not only is it continued action, it has a continuing effect. So we were rooted in Christ. That is a continuing action with a continuing effect. It illustrates or it pictures the initial rooting with the result that we continue to be rooted. I have been rooted in Christ and I continue to be rooted in Christ. So again, to be rooted in Him is to be embedded in Him. It is to be fixed to Him. It is to be established in Him. That is Christianity. Jesus Christ. Embedded to Jesus Christ. It is being connected to Jesus Christ. It is being linked to Jesus Christ. It's, again, the analogy of a tree with its deep roots in rich soil. And again, for most plants and most trees, the root system is below ground. It serves primarily as an anchor. And it also, of course, provides nourishment and life. The product of this root system is a life. And to be rooted in Christ, the product of that is a life. The Christian life. So Christianity is a life with roots. Again, not to genealogy. Not to religion, not to good works, not to a repeated prayer, but it is a root system in a person, Jesus Christ. It is a root system in a personal experience, salvation, being saved by Jesus Christ. And again, the root produces life. It is a life that is inseparable from Christ. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is inseparable from Jesus Christ. The life that Paul lived, which was what we would call the Christian life, went back to and was inseparable from this fact that he was saved and that it was Jesus who saved him. So it was this, saved by Jesus, that had a lasting impact upon his life. If your salvation experience does not have an impact upon your life, you have every reason and you ought to question your salvation experience. It is something that has an impact upon our life. And apart from this, there is no Christian life. You are not raised a Christian. You become a Christ follower through salvation. It is living in the reality and awareness of saved by Christ, that fills our hearts with love for the one who saved us, which enables us to serve out of love. It is living in the reality and awareness of saved by Jesus that causes one to be absorbed and taken up with Jesus Christ. If this really gets a hold of an individual, I've been saved by Jesus Christ, you don't have to strive to be taken up with Jesus Christ. It just happens. Saved by Jesus, it's living in the reality and awareness of that that gives us a desire to honor Him, gives us a desire to exalt Him, to draw attention to Him, to sing to Him, to bow to Him, to worship Him, to live for Him. Just this simple fact, saved by Him. And it's living in the reality of that that causes us to make Him our number one priority. Just knowing that He saved our soul. This is what causes Him to be the focus of our life, the direction of our life, the motivation of our life, the driving force of our life. The fact that our roots go back to a personal experience of salvation and the one who saved us, Jesus Christ. That's where our roots go if we're truly saved. And that produces a life, a very manifest life. It gives us a desire to serve Him. Those who have this root system, you don't have to convince them to have a desire to serve Him. They will. They'll have that desire because that's a root system. It's this root system that fills us with wonder and the excitement of being saved. The truth is, far too many are attempting to live the Christian life apart from a personal salvation experience. I can't imagine what attempting to do that, how difficult, how miserable that has to be. Far too many of saved people are trying to live the Christian life apart from the wonder and the thrill and the excitement of Jesus saved my soul. It's pretty difficult to live that life. It's impossible if you live it apart from Christ. So this life that results from saved by Jesus, notice in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We see there's a life that results from saved by Jesus. It's described in these two verses. It is a life that is directly related to salvation. It is a life that is directly related to Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 6. As, that tells us that a comparison is about to be made. As ye, so it's personal, have, something in the past, have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So he's talking about a past and very specific and definite experience. Ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. That is the experience that is being described. What is being described is the life that results from that experience. A receiving of Jesus Christ. Now many will refer to their salvation as an accepting of Jesus Christ. They will say, I accepted Jesus Christ. But I believe that's incorrect terminology. I don't believe that lines up with Scripture. I'm not saying that person's not saved. That's not what I'm saying. The Bible describes salvation as a receiving of Christ. The word accept in all of its forms appears 28 times in the New Testament, and nowhere are we told to accept Christ, and nowhere does it speak of accepting Jesus Christ. Now, several of those verses which we find that word accepted or acceptance or accept, it speaks of being accepted or being made acceptable to God, not us accepting Jesus Christ. But we are told very specifically that we have received Christ Jesus. And I believe that's better terminology than accepting. Accepting Christ is an Arminian term. But notice how Christ was received. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. When we were saved, we received Christ. We received Him as the anointed one of God. We received Him as our Savior. That is indicated in the word Jesus. We have received Christ Jesus. We received Him as the anointed Savior. This is true of everyone in the salvation experience. But it says that we have received Christ Jesus the Lord. We receive Him as the Sovereign One. This teaching today that when you were saved, you received Him as your Savior, and now you have to dedicate your life and receive Him as your Lord. That's a bunch of malarkey. When you were saved, you received Him as Christ Jesus, your Lord. He doesn't become your Lord later on. That's how you received Him. And that is to manifest in our lives. That is the salvation experience. It is a personal receiving of Christ Jesus the Lord. Now he goes on to the life. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, to the same extent in which you have received Him, after the same manner which you have received Him, walk ye. Now he's talking about life. A way of living is now being described. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye. Now the word walk, of course, speaks of activity. But not just activity. It speaks of progress. It speaks of motion, but not just motion, motion with direction. We're to walk. That's motion with direction. That's motion with purpose. And now that we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, we're to walk. That is, we're to live with direction and purpose. And the direction and purpose is Jesus Christ. To walk speaks of a habit of life throughout the Scriptures. So when we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, At that very moment, our life was greatly impacted by Him. And that's how we're to live. We're to live as individuals who have been impacted by Jesus Christ. That is, we are to live as one who believes in, one who is firmly persuaded of Christ, one who is grateful to Jesus Christ, one who has been humbled by Jesus Christ, one who is in love with Jesus Christ, one who is filled with awe toward Christ. That's how we're to live. That is the Christian life. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye. Paul is saying, live conversion. Live salvation. As ye have therefore received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That's Christianity. Walking in Him. That in Him speaks of the realm of our life. It speaks of the element of our life. And what is the realm? What is the element? Him. Walk ye in Him. In, that means enclosed, surrounded. We're to live lives that are enclosed by Christ, surrounded by Jesus Christ. In Him. He's the emphasis of our life. He's where we live. In Him. That's Christianity. Living in Him. Again, walk ye in Him. That implies of a recognition of Him. It implies a consecration to Him in all things. In everything that constitutes our life. Whether it be business, home, society, friendships, pleasures, responsibilities, etc. It's to be all in Him. That's Christianity. That's the Christian life. And as we do that, we become, again, it's present tense, we become more rooted in Him. Our roots begin to go deeper and deeper. We become more rooted in Jesus Christ, more deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. So we're to live life rooted in Christ. That is the Christian life. The reason that many of God's people are spellbound by the world and by the world's pursuits, and the reason they're always absorbed and drawn to the ways and reasonings of the world, and the reason that they always seem to be more identified with the world than with Christ, and the reason they become spiritually lax and indifferent and have embraced the ways and the ideas and the philosophies of the world and culture, and the reason their minds are always clouded with the carnal reasonings of the world is because of a lack of clear, and the reason there's a lack of clear distinction between them and the world is a deficient root system. They may be saved. They may be saved. Let's say they are. But the roots have not grown. The roots have not gone deeper. And many who profess union with Christ live detached from Christ. They profess that they have a union with Christ. That's what you profess when you profess salvation. But yet everything about their lives is detached from Christ. And these individuals will tell you that they're Christians. You cannot be a Christian detached from Jesus Christ. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. They have a deficient root system if they are saved. They have a deficient root system. They do if they're lost too. The reason that many are always carried about by the circumstances and the events of life is the same reason. There's something wrong with the root system. Paul said to the Galatians, and like the Philippians, they were under the influence of the Judaizers. The Judaizers, we mentioned this last week, were individuals who claimed to be saved, saved Jews, but they taught Christ plus. Yes, we received Christ, but you have to do this also. And they stuck to circumcision. But their theology was Christ plus. And that's the theology of many today. But in Galatians 1 verse 6, Paul said, I marvel. He's talking to the believers who have been under the influence of these Judaizers. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. From Him. Notice he doesn't say, I marvel that you're so removed from doctrine or teachings or His teachings. That's not what he says. From Him. Because that's Christianity. Him. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. Now let's go to the book of Galatians. And I want to see the results of being removed from Christ. In Galatians 3 verse 1, again, keep in mind verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him. And he's addressing these individuals. Being removed from Christ. Galatians 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Removed from Christ, they became bewitched, deceived, and disobedient. That's what happens when you're removed from Christ. That's what happens when your root system becomes deficient. You become easily bewitched and disobedient. Then notice in chapter 3, verse 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? What were they doing? They have now adopted a works-based righteousness. They began in the Spirit. But now you think that you're made perfect by the flesh. When you become removed from Christ, you adopt a works-based righteousness. This describes many who profess salvation. Galatians 4 verse 17. They, this would be the Judaizers, zealously affect you, but not well. They zealously affect you. Removed from Christ, they were affected by the wrong things. Isn't it amazing how many things affect the professing Christian more than Christ affects them. More than spiritual things affect them. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Removed from Him, their lives became entangled. Galatians 5 verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That doesn't mean they lost their salvation. It means that they fell from the truth of grace, and now they think works of righteousness makes them spiritual. And Christ has become of no effect. None whatsoever. They get more excited about hearing about works than they do Christ. That's a sure sign that an individual has been removed, or they have removed from Christ. Galatians 5 verses 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Having removed themselves from Christ, they can't get along. And that is one of the results when a people adopt a works, righteousness by works attitude. Everybody has a different list, and people can't get along. It's evidence. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. They were deceived by sin. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. The result of that is deception by sin. And then in Galatians 6, verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they desire this, to make a fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised. Again, talking about these Judaizers. Their lives were reduced to show. It's amazing today how many people are more concerned with appearance than they are Christ. What will people think than Christ? So as you look at each of these things, it goes back to Galatians 1 verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. There is a frightening parallel to today. The verses that we have just read pretty much describe most people that I know that profess to be saved. It is a frightening parallel, and it is evidence that people have left Jesus Christ. They have a Christianity, so-called, that is not based in Jesus Christ. Every single saved individual can fall into such a life. And every child of God ought to fear such a life. A Christianity without Christ. For a child of God to be offended by Christ, that's pretty sad. Christianity is Christ. All the other things do not bring acceptance with God. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that truth is not important. I'm not saying that obeying God, all of those things are part of it. There's no question about that. But Christianity is Christ. None of those other things will save your soul. None of them. None of them will save your soul. Christianity is Christ. That is one of the dangers of children being raised with Christian principles. I'm not saying it's wrong to raise children with Christian principles. We certainly should raise them by Christian principles, by thus saith the Lord. It's the only way to raise them. But we must realize that there is a danger. And the danger is that they become a Christian robot without Christ. That's a great danger. They have learned all the terminology. They have learned how to act. They have learned what to say. But they've never had that personal salvation experience. And they're lost. They're unsaved. So we are to raise our children with biblical principles. Teach them to pray. Teach them to the greatness of God, the greatness of Jesus Christ, and pray and pray and pray that one day the Lord will make it real to them by saving their souls. All these other things do not make you right with God. There's only one thing that can make you right with God, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can do all the other things right, but that doesn't make you right with God. Christianity is Christ. It is not a religion. It's not a system of righteousness that we must be rooted to. It is Christ. It is Christ. There is even some danger. You and I that believe the truth. There are not many today who believe truth. We know that. If we're not careful, we can put truth ahead of Christ. Truth to replace Jesus Christ. You can be sound in theology without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ. And when I say these things, I'm not doing away with the importance of any of these other things. But they're not equal to Christ. Christianity is Christ. I believe I know several people in the Lord's churches that take, I'll use the word pride for lack of a better word coming to my mind right now, they take more pride in being a member of one of the Lord's churches, and that begins to take precedence over Christ. Nothing is to take precedence over Christ. Nothing. Being a member of one of the Lord's churches does not make you right with God. Doesn't mean you're saved. In order to be saved, you have to have Christ. In order to be right with God, you have to have Christ. So we close by asking, where do our roots go? Where do our roots run? Do they go to Christ? Do they go to that personal salvation experience? Are you rooted in Jesus Christ? Then we need to ask, how deep do your roots go? We ought to be becoming more and more rooted in Jesus Christ. Whether or not we're going to stand has a lot to do with how deep our roots go. Whether or not we're going to be deceived by false teachers has a lot to do with how deep our roots go. There was time in our early Christian life, this is true of all of us, we didn't know anything. We knew that Jesus saved us. That truth alone will keep you from a lot of error. Jehovah's Witnesses come along, the Mormons or whoever. Salvation by works, folks. They can't deceive the one who's rooted in that salvation experience. They may not know much doctrine. They may not know much theology, but they know this. I was on that road, and the one who came to me said, I am Jesus, and he's the one who saved me, and that I do know. Pretty hard to deceive those folks. Don't ever get away from your salvation experience. Never get away from the truth that it was Jesus who saved your soul. Christianity is Christ. Christ needs to be preached and preached and preached and preached. Christianity is Christ. You preach Christ, you'll cover every subject in this book. Every single one. I thank God that I can go back to a day, a time, and a place where Jesus came to me and said, I am Jesus. And I've never gotten over that. I'm never going to. I can always go back to that moment. And that's where the roots must go. To that experience and to the one who saved our soul. If that be so, we can live a Christian life. A life will result from that. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse 1.